Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
Okay. Got an amen. Praise God. And part of it is because we're able to be here amazingly in our last service of 2017, if you can believe that. We're in our last service of 2017, and I can't think of a better way to celebrate New Year's Eve than to be in God's house and to be with our brothers and sisters, church family, and praising God as we conclude 2017 and enter 2018, if you could believe that. It's incredible, and that's the reason why we sing about His amazing love and His amazing grace, because if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have able to be a part of this today. So I greet you in the name of the Lord. I don't see any visitors here for the first time, and but I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, all of you. I know some also not here because they're ill. I think of Sarah. I know that she's been sick, so pray for her, and I know others as well. I know that Greg is here, but I didn't see Trina, so pray for them and things like that. Also, pray for my brother Jack that has a surgery this week, and it's been a long time coming. But pray, I know God is in control of everything. And of course, pray for the Wesley family, and of course the Wheeler and the family. You know, they're going through the transition, and Vernon right now graduated into the Celestial University. But just pray for the family during the transitional times, and also pray for our church and for what God has for us. I truly believe the best is yet to come. I don't know if you believe that, and it's not my position to convince you to believe that, because it's not up to me. I'm just believing what the Word of God says. That's it. And when I read God's Word, it encourages me. It gives me hope. It's the reason why I'm able to breathe today. It's the reason why I'm able to get up in the morning. You see, I don't get up in the morning because it's Sunday. Oh, well, pastor, you got to be there. That's your job. Nah. I saw that to Bill. I said that to the church. Greg, I tell you, know, the day that this becomes a job for me, then find yourself another pastor. Okay? Because this is not the reason we do it. The reason why we do anything is to give Him glory. But I praise God for that. And then later on, I'll share some important announcements. But I'd like us to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, if you could accompany me there. And when you have it, let's stand in reverence to God's word as we be able to preach and hear God's last sermon for this year, of course, 2017. So we're turning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and we're going to start reading from verse 1 all the way to verse 8. So if you have it, please stand in reverence to God's word, and let us read it together. It says here, "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck out what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." Precious Father, we just, Lord, started off right now opening your holy, unadulterated word, God. That, Father, that brings deliverance, that cuts deep to the heart, that transforms, that brings the acknowledgement of salvation. And God, Father, that brings change in our lives, Father. And Father, as we read your word right now, we've read it, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit gives us understanding, God. We want to thank you for your amazing love and your amazing grace all throughout 2017. And as we venture in this new transition into 2018, Father God, I pray that you help us to keep focus on you, to keep focused, Father, on the purpose why we are here. Why are we on this planet? Why are we living today, Father? And it's to bring glory to your name. So, Father, as we venture now into your word, into this last sermon of 2017, I pray that you help us to understand it. We pray that you help us, Father, Lord, to help it penetrate our minds and our hearts, and that it could change us, God, and that it could, Lord, excite us, Father, for what is to come, Lord, because the best is yet to come, because your word is true. Your word is perfect. Your word has promises. And we thank you, God, Father, for not leaving us as we sung that today, oh God. Father, you've been with us. Father, even before we were born, you knew about us. Thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you, Father, for your love. And Father, continue to be with us in the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, before becoming pastor and acknowledging to ministry, you know, I used to have other several different occupations, and it's to be a teacher, and also, believe it or not, I used to be a comedian. You're saying, what? How was your career? Yeah, I could make people laugh. I really can. You know, like one of my trademarks, like to punchlines that I tell people, it's like, for example, like, you know, maybe for the young people, you know, it's like, you know, I will tell, well, what did one wall say to the other? And the other people, you know, try to figure it out. And it's like, I meet you at the corner. You see, yeah, I was a renowned comedian. So people were like, Pastor, don't quit your day job. But but another one is, I'll tell kids, is like, well, why did the kid throw the clock out the window? You know, and of course I'll get some blank stares, and they'll try to figure it out. And then I will tell them, well, it's because they wanted to see time fly. Pastor, don't quit your day job, huh? Okay, I got it. So no, I'm just lying. I wasn't a renowned comedian, as you can see. But these are like some just like jokes, some icebreakers that I knew. But there's like some reality to that, because man, has time flown. You know, we don't have to throw a clock out the window to see time flies. Time does fly. And I believe in the passage that we just read, inspired by King Solomon, considered one of the wisest persons during his time, does say something incredibly wise. He says there's a season, there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. And during this time, you know, it could just go so fast. You know, I think parents are the ones that kind of might see this the most, because it's incredible how our children just grow up so fast. I mean, my son turns 13 now in 2018. Oh boy, do I have like a big endeavor coming up, okay? But I can remember him the day I took him home. Honest to God, it seemed like it was yesterday, you know? And I'm sure all the parents here, or grandparents, or family members, and you could apply any to anywhere else, but it's incredible how time flies. And it just tells us more than anything to appreciate the times. And we're going to get into that. But in this season of 2017, you know, I'm sure you face some of the things that Solomon mentions here in his criteria about time. You know, he says that there's a time to be born. Maybe some of us have witnessed birth, maybe not in a personal level as far as, you know, families here, or maybe you have. You know, I know that the Slagle family, I see Josh back there, you know, this year the Lord had blessed them with they were able to see birth in the life. And what a blessing, my brother. God bless you and your family. But at the same time, I know some of us have faced death as well. Just this week, I went to a funeral with Brother Vernon Wesley, that, of course, you know, we weep in the transition of it. That's not simple, but praise God that he knew the Lord God as his Savior and absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that's the reason why it's so important to go out there and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people, because you don't know if that person is written in the book of life. And please do not be mistaken. Just because that person says, like, they go to church, or just because that person says, well, you know, I've been a Baptist for so many years, those are not the criteria of salvation. It's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we got to make sure that we go out there and like, you know, that Christmas one, right? Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it in our mountains, okay? Here at Somerset, or wherever the Lord takes us. But we've experienced birth. We experienced that. I'm sure all of us here, I really pray that you've experienced time of laughter. Whether you've gone on vacation, whether, you know, you've now through the holidays, you know, you've had, you know, family gatherings and dinners. I'm sure you've maybe heard some jokes, better jokes hopefully than Pastor Izzy could give, but I hope you've had a time of laughter. I'm sure you've had a time of laughter this year. Hasn't been all boho, you know, all down. But I'm sure you've had times of weeping too. I'm sure maybe your pillows could tell us about that, you know. Those times of weeping and sadness. I'm sure you've had time of gain, like the Bible says here. Maybe gain meaning, you know, accomplishments, victories, or blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon you. But I'm sure you also experienced loss. Loss in somebody, whether, you know, obviously death in the family, or maybe something that you were wishing it would turn out, but it just didn't turn out. It just didn't turn out. It didn't happen. Or something that was very precious to you, and it was lost. And many other things, you know, resolutions that you had from last year, 2017, that maybe you kept, and maybe resolutions that you weren't able to keep or that were thrown away. You had times of trials. I'm sure you had times of trials this year, you know, times of storms. But I pray also you had times of peace, though. You know, and you know how I could tell you had times of peace? Because even though you had the storm, you're still here today. You're able to walk into the sanctuary. You still have breath in your lungs. And the Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So you're here by God's grace. You know, I pray that, yeah, you know, maybe you did have a time of maybe. I know hate is such a strong word, but it's just a reality. It does happen. You know, it can even happen in church. I know we hate saying about that, but the Bible says that if you don't love your, if you don't, you know, care for your brother, you know, you hate your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. Maybe we've had experience, or maybe in the workplace, or maybe at school. I don't know. I hope not, but we do live in a wicked world, in a sinful world, and it can happen. But I also pray that you've experienced time of love. I praise God that at least during here my time in Kentucky, I've experienced the love of you guys, and I praise God for that. So I hope you've experienced that. But I can guarantee you this: all these things that Solomon mentions here in Ecclesiastes, all these different criteria, I can guarantee you this: you did not face them alone. Whether it was a time of laughter or a time of weeping or a time of birth or a time of death or all these different criteria, you did not face them alone. You did not face them alone. And I'd like us to go to the book of Psalms, and I'm going to go rather quickly, so kind of like just write it down if you kind of missed it. But I want to see some Psalms to encourage us. For example, Psalms chapter 9 and verse 9. Okay, the book of Psalms, chapter 9. In verse 9, I'm going to go rather quickly because I have several different psalms I want to share with you. But look what it says here in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 9. It says here, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Isn't that awesome to know that in your time of trouble, the Lord has been a refuge for you? The Lord has been a refuge. You did not go through it alone. The Lord was a refuge for you. And guess what? The Lord will continue, now coming in 2018, to be a refuge in your time of trouble. Now, some of you might say, well, you know, that's beautiful, Pastor Izzy, but you know what? Sometimes I really felt like God wasn't there, though. Okay, well, you know what? Look what it says here in Psalms chapter 10 and verse 1, the very next chapter. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, why do you stand afar off, Lord? This is the psalmist talking here. Why do you hide in times of trouble? You know, here the psalmist is saying, you know, I feel like you're far off from me. I feel like you're not there. And I'm pretty sure, let's be honest here, because I mean, I pray all of us here are believers in Jesus Christ, but let's be honest. Even as believers in Jesus Christ, sometimes we feel like God is far away, especially when trouble comes into our lives. Let's just be honest, okay? Because it happens. But look what God tells the psalmist and how he encourages him in verse 14. It says here, "But you have seen for you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless." Even though, you know what, you might seem like God is not there, and you might seem like, you know, he's at a far off distance, he's not. He's there. He's there. Maybe the reason why he's doing that is because he's trying to purge you. Maybe he's trying to prune you. Maybe he's trying to build character of dependence with God and faithfulness. But God has been with you. God has also given you strength, okay, to endure whatever situation you endured in 2017. I love what it says here in Psalms 37. Again, I'm reading a lot of Psalms to you today. But if you want, you can just write it down. But let's go to the Psalms chapter 37 and verse 19. Psalm 37 and verse 19. Look what it says here in the Word of God. It says here, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm like, okay, that didn't make sense. Okay, so here it is. It says here, excuse me, verse 37. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. You know, God wants us to, reminds us that he is our strength, that he is our strength, and he wants us to know that he'll give us strength. Oh, I'm sorry, it's verse 37 and verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Psalms 37 and verse 39. Excuse me, I put 19, it's verse 39. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So when you're going through trouble, you're going through difficult situation, God will give you a strength to overcome it. It doesn't, you know, a lot of us think that peace is the absence of trouble. No, it's not. Peace is that through the storm, God will give you strength to endure it. But you're going to go through the storm. And here's a little side note. In 2018, there's a storm waiting for you. It's just, you know, it's not because I'm negative or because I don't want the best for you. Of course I do. I really do. But it's inevitable. But the Bible tells us to rejoice when we go through various trials. Why? Because God is our strength. Another thing that's so amazing about God is that God also, through the storms, he hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. Psalm 69 and verse 13. Psalm 69 and verse 13. Look what it says here. This is it's a beautiful verse. Psalm 69 verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you. O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. But as for me, my prayer is to you. You know, it's amazing how one's prayer life increases when trouble time comes. It shouldn't be that way. You know, our prayer life should always be consistent during troubled times and during times of praise and glory and calmity or serenity. Okay, but you know, but during the times of trouble or any time, here the psalmist says, you know what, my prayer is to you. God, isn't it amazing that God hears your prayers? And he does. Even though at times you might not have the answer right there, he's answering your prayers. He's hearing it. And in due time, he will answer. But also, there's a little side note. I remember one time I talked about this in prayer. Sometimes we think that when we give our prayers to God, his answer is always going to be yes. Not always. God can say no. And are you content with him saying no? And if he's saying no, it's not because he's cruel or because he's mean. That means that he has something better than what you can think of. Because we need to understand something. Your plans are not his plans. And there's no doubt that scripture tells us that God's plans are way better than ours. You think that what you have or your plans and your thought are great for you? You ain't seen nothing yet what God has in store for you. But we need to pray. And that's the reason why I enjoy, you know, God this year, you know, he says sometimes he might not answer it also because it's not the acceptable time. That's my favorite part of this passage here. Okay, he says there, but as for me, my prayers to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. Maybe God has that answer for your prayer. Just now it's not the time. It is during his time. And maybe he needs to like move puzzle pieces or chess pieces in your life to get to where God wants you to be. But until he moves those pieces in your life, guess what? He's not gonna bring that to you. Because we need to understand something about God. God is a God of order. God will not give something to cause more chaos. God doesn't do that. God is a God of order. And part of his order is knowing his will and his acceptable time. But we still don't stop crying out to the Lord. The Bible says that the Israelites were in captivity with Egypt for 400 years. And I guarantee you that all those generations prayed to God. And in due time, because when you start reading the book of Exodus, the first couple of chapters, you hear God say, and I've heard their cry. He's heard their prayer. But you know what? You don't stop praying. And guess what? 2018, God tells us, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying to the Lord. Don't start communion with God. Don't stop communing with God. Another thing that I love about it as well, too, is that, you know, in 2017, you know, here Solomon tells us that we've experienced grace. We experienced his love. If you experienced love this year, it's because you experienced his grace. And part of experiencing his grace, I love what it says here in Psalms chapter 102. I said, I know we're looking at a lot of Psalms right now. But Psalms chapter 102 and verse 12 and 13. 102, verse 12 and 13. Look what it says here, verse 12 and 13. It says here, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. The time to favor her, the time to put her grace. Because what does grace mean? Grace means unmerited favor. It means that you didn't deserve it. But God gives it upon us. The meal that we ate, it's funny how when we say, what is it that people say when you're going to pray for the meal? Somebody say grace. You know why they say that? Sometimes people don't even have a concept of that. Because it's by God's grace that you're able to have a meal. Because right now, today, in that cold weather that's out there, okay, and able to come, there's people right now, there's children right now that are starving, that have nothing to eat. Okay, people that are trying to find warmth and somewhere to sleep in. By God's grace, today, you're able to wake up with breath in your lungs. By God's grace, today, you're able to have a meal. By God's grace, you're able to have a home. By God's grace, you're able to be with your family. It's all about, that's why I praise God that my brother sung about his amazing grace, because that's what it's all about. It's all about his amazing grace. And God this year has bestowed you, not just today, unmerited favor. He has bestowed upon you unmerited favor, grace upon you. Grace like unexpected blessings. I'm sure some of you here had an unexpected blessing that just came out of nowhere, but God blessed you. Whether it be a financial difficulty, whether it be a miracle as far as healing, whether maybe getting saved from an accident that should have happened and it didn't happen because God's grace protected you from that. Maybe the reason why you were late to work is because you found out later that in Highway 80 or 139 or whatever, there was this big accident at this time. And if you would have gone at that time, you would have been part of that accident. But God was moving the puzzle pieces to make you late for that reason. Why? Because of God's unmerited favor. God's grace. And you couldn't see there down the road, but God did. And God protected you from something that could have been a lot, lot worse. God's grace. So God this year, I'm sure, has given you, I could just go on and on, miracles and healings, a special God, a job, a special gift, or maybe a personal lesson that the Lord is trying to teach you. That's all part of his grace. That's all part of his grace. You need to understand something. Nothing can happen in your life without God allowing it. Nothing. There's nothing that escapes God's eyes and God's mind. Nothing. Nothing. You could hide things from man, but you can't hide things from God. And God knows everything that's in our lives. That's why I kind of like also what it says here. I know that we're reading a lot of passages today, but I love what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm just going to read it to you quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 39. I love what it says here. And I'm going to read it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. But it says here, therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Know this to know. This was written in the context, obviously, during the times of Moses, and we're in 2017. But guess what? The word is still true today. Know this today on the last day of 2017. And know this tomorrow when you start the new year in 2018. Know what, Pastor? Consider in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath, and there's no other. Tomorrow when you wake up, God is still on the throne. And the day after, God is still on the throne. And halfway to 2018, God is still on the throne. And at the end of 2018, and God is still on the throne. And God will be on the throne forever and ever, because that's what the Bible says. Because God is sovereign and he is king. Understand that no matter what time you're living in, we live in it because God will always be Lord. God will always be Lord no matter what time we live in. And that's something that we need to understand. Time flies, but no matter what time that we live in, God is always with us. God will always be with you. This week, I went to a funeral. And I know it's tough when we go to funerals, especially during these times of the holidays. It's tough. You know, last year, in December, I remember I had to do four funerals. I did four in a span of 2 weeks, okay? And one of them, I'll never forget it, was a two-month-old. I did a funeral for a two-month-old baby, and that was tough. That was incredibly tough, okay? And again, that's the reason why we need to go out there and preach the gospel. And this week, I had the privilege to go to Vernon Wesley's funeral. And celebrate the life, because praise God that Vernon Wesley accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So praise God he's writing in the book of life. So even though we live in that transitional time now where he's not here, but we'll see each other again, because we know that we are pilgrims here on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. But funerals always teach me something, always, every time. And I've done more funerals than weddings, believe it or not. But something that funerals always teach me is that, number one, tomorrow is promised to nobody. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not trying to be negative. But it's a possibility that maybe some of us won't be here tomorrow. It's a possibility. I don't wish that upon anybody, okay? But there's no guarantee. I know right now our minds are thinking what we're going to do for New Year's Eve tonight, who we're going to spend it with, what you're going to eat, what you're going to watch. You're gonna watch the little ball fall from New York City, and you know, and they put all these galas on the TV. But what guarantees you or me that we're gonna get there? There's tomorrow. I pray that we do, but there's no guarantee. Why? Don't get mad at me. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says that tomorrow is promised to nobody. Tomorrow's promised to nobody. And when I go to these funerals, it reminds me of that. It reminds me of one thing. It reminds me that we need to appreciate the time that the Lord has given us. Appreciate the time the Lord has given us. Man, we spend so much time bickering, complaining, criticizing, gossiping, all these things. And for what? What results that? Results in a negative spirit, results in a bitter heart, receives in anger, and you know, do you really think that the Lord created you to live life that way? No way. My life verse, John 10:10, the second part, he came to give us life and life abundantly. So live it joyfully, even though you might not have all the riches, even though, yes, you do have problems in your life, live it joyfully, man. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But tomorrow's promised to nobody. So appreciate the time with your family. Appreciate the time with your church member. Appreciate the time with the Lord. But it's also a time of reflection. Because one part that I don't want to sound like I'm sick, but that I do like enjoy as far as when I go to the funeral place and when I went to Brother Vernon's funeral celebration was that they had this TV. And in the TV, they just put a bunch of pictures and memories of the life of Vernon. And I never got to really meet Vernon personally, but I got to see a little bit of his life all through the pictures that I was seeing through the TV. And the reason why they do it, because it's a time of reflection. A time where the family and friends could go back and when they see that picture, oh yes, I remember when I went fishing with Vernon. Oh yes, oh I remember when we got together for Christmas and we had that dinner. And you remember what happened when he tripped and whatever and all these different life moments. It's done because it was presented to value or appreciate the life and the time that families and friends had with Vernon. The Bible says, and you know, I was going to read all of them, but you know, but I know what it says. And if you want, just write it down because they all say the same thing: Psalms 106:1, Psalms 107:1, Psalms 118, and almost the whole Psalms 136. All those passages have a constant theme, and you know what that theme is? The theme is give thanks to the Lord for His mercy endures forever. They all say that. It's about 30 times, I believe, it comes out. Give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. You know, we can always find something to complain about, especially this year. But you can definitely find something to be thankful about this year. And one of the things that you and I can be thankful for is that His mercy endures forever. I can guarantee that God has been merciful to me and to you this year. And it's understanding what mercy means. You know what mercy means? Mercy means that you don't get what you deserve. In other words, like, you know, when you have messed up and really it should have been like, you know, it should have caved on you, something prevented that caving in. And you know what it was? It was God. His mercy endures forever. When I was watching the pictures, it was reflecting on the life of Vernon. I want us to take I'm going to give you guys 30 seconds right now. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes if you need to. But I want you to reflect on 2017 right now. And do a little collage like what happened with Vernon. Started putting the pictures of memories and start going through your memory bank and start seeing where God has been merciful to you this year. Reflect on God's goodness right now. Think about it. Just think about it throughout this year specifically, 2017. Where can you see where God was faithful to you? Where God was faithful to you? Just take these moments right now. These little silent moments right now where you can see His mercy endures forever. And as you're reflecting, with your eyes closed, if you still want to keep reflecting, and I still have more in my message. But if God wills it to stop it here, then praise the Lord. But does anybody here, as a sign, because the Bible says that, you know, we should, when God has been good to us, that we should reflect and be thankful. Does anybody here want to publicly thank God for something that He did to you, for you this year in 2017? And if He has, I want you to stand where you're at and proclaim it publicly. To worship the Lord and to edify us for how God has been faithful to you. Does anybody want to? And the only thing I just ask is that you just please be brief, you know, because there may be some others that want to share. But I'm opening up the floor right now. I'm opening up the altar right now. But does anybody here want to publicly give thanks to God for something specific? You know, something specific this year in 2017 where you can say His mercy endures forever. That you could talk about His amazing love. And where you could praise God for it today as we close the new year in this service. And at the same time, it could edify us. Does anybody here want to give thanks publicly to the Lord for something specific? You don't have to be ashamed. Amen. Amazing, because I never thought that, you know, I am
literally more money than I ever had before. Not having to really worry about, you know, what the next paycheck is going to be, because I know exactly what it's going to be. So God has not only blessed, but He's also provided me with a lot of time. And I can't wait to see what things He does.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thelma, I know you rose up. You wanted to share what you want to be thankful for. Yes? Does she want to share? Do you want to share what you want to be thankful for? I know you stood up. No? Okay. Does anybody else would like to share? And give me this opportunity as we begin to close our new year. And would you like to publicly thank God for His mercy this year? Greg, yes.
Yeah, our home, our physical home, had a problem this year. Invasion. God worked that out through the abilities of the people, through prayer. The situation never got out of hand. And how often God was involved in that.
Amen. Thank you, Greg, for sharing that. His mercies endure forever. God was merciful to His home and protection. Praise God. Anybody else would like to share? Give a praise to our God, thankfulness for this year. A blessing. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Barbara. God bless you. Does anybody else want to stand and give praise to our God? I'm extending this to give you this opportunity to thank the Lord publicly, because the Bible encourages us to thank God publicly, because it's a way to worship Him. And number two, it encourages us. Anybody else would like to? Yeah? Well, David? Yeah. We thank you. And I know all of us appreciate the Needy family. Amen. They're such a beautiful. You guys are a blessing. You're a role model to us all. God bless you. Thank you. Doris, were you raising your hand? No. Yeah. Doris? Or no? I don't want to miss anybody. Is anybody else? I know I'm extending this, but I'm doing it, you know, because I want to give you the opportunity to give thanks to the Lord as we conclude our year. Anybody else would like to give thanks for His mercy? Yes. Okay, I have a couple of them. Okay, so, and then Carolyn. And then my sister. Okay. Huh? Carolyn first? Okay, Carolyn.
Michelle. More so a while back than here lately.
Lord taught me ever through everyone. For one thing, I had a surgeon who was a Christian. And I would always say, he'd ask me, what do you want to do? And I said, well, you can be in the world, get it done. And we went through and we're done. And I just had x-rays on me. Two of the implants surgery, and there was nothing out of place on them at all. And that's pretty good because a lot of people, after they've had them for a few years, begin to have trouble with it. So I feel blessed in that.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Carolyn. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us, and the Lord is with you and with your grandchildren. Did you want to say something, my sister? Yeah. No? Well, I don't know if she raised her hand. I guess it's really not hard to see over here. I know, so you wanted to say something?
I think it's also a blessing that you came here.
Oh, well, it's God's grace. Good to be here. Anybody else want to have the opportunity to give thanks to the Lord for his mercies? We've heard some wonderful stories of God working in people's lives this year. Differently, different circumstances, but the same God. Does anybody else want to publicly thank God for what he's done in his life as we start to wrap this up? Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being a blessing to our family. God bless you. Anybody else want to give thanks as we start to close? Anybody else? Want to close with one verse. I had several other things, but I think I would just close with this just one verse. We talked about how time flies and how we need to appreciate those times. We talked about reflecting, you know, and part of reflecting is thanking God. I even encourage you even though we're doing this now in this service, but I encourage you when you get home or before you conclude the new year, you know, just do a little reflecting, you know, and write them down and start focusing on the details to see how good God has been to you and how he'll continue to do so. And then reflecting is giving thanks to the Lord. But guess what? Guess what, folks? The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. 2017, we say goodbye to it and we thank God for it. But guess what? 2018 is on the horizon. And I love this verse. It was given to me before I left here to Kentucky. And I've known this verse for such a long time, but there's so much truth to it. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." To give you a future and hope. And that's the reason why I say the best is yet to come. You know why? Because God's the one saying it. It's not Isman. It's nobody else. It's God. And you have to believe that God has great things for you. Because God is great just in himself. And he has riches and inheritance and rewards for all of us just being a child of God, but just the fact that you are saved, man, we should be thankful. Because remember, your salvation was not dependent on anything that you did. We were all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. But it's because of God's plan for your life while you're here. And salvation just doesn't stop. That's just part of the package. He has incredible blessing, like Joshua was saying. He can't wait to see what 2018 has in store for him. I pray that you can't wait for 2018 still has in store for you. I really pray that you can't wait what 2018 has in store for this church. For the best is yet to come. And I know some of us are tempted to look around. Yes, I see it too. Trust me, I see it better than you do because I'm up here. Yes, I do see the empty pews. Yes, I do see all these things, but you know what? I totally believe that the best is yet to come. Because God sees farther than what I can or that what you can. And God has a plan for his church. And I had other stuff to share, but you know, just be thoughtful that, you know what? We thank God for the past, but we don't stay in the past. Hear me well. Everybody's talking about resolutions and this and that. One resolution that we should make with the Lord is to seek him more than ever. That should be your resolution. But you know what? We're thankful for what he did in our lives, but we can't stay in the past. Because if you hang up on past victories or defeats, if you hung up on your past sins, whether unforgiveness, hate, remorse, or past blessings, you'll never be able to see God's plans for you in 2018. If you think that I'm lying, won't you ask the Israelites why they were in the desert? You know why they were in the desert? Because they kept looking back. And people get stuck in life. Churches get stuck in where they're at. You know why? Because they keep looking back. I'm not looking at Miami. I'm looking at Kentucky and what God has for me here. And what God has for us together. But we need to stop looking back. And I praise God for all the victories he's given me in my past. I even thank him for the trials that he has given me in my past, as crazy as it sounds. I thank God for the heart attack that I had 2 years ago, for it taught me something. I wasn't thankful at that moment. But you know what? That happened then. I can't keep looking back. I got to keep looking for what God has in store for me, my family, and for this church and for you in 2018. But we need to stop looking back. We need to start looking forward at what God has in store for you. And not just that. I know I'm carrying on, but I really wanted to share this. And be excited. Gosh. You know, be excited for what God has for us tomorrow. You know, I just want to read a verse. I know I said that Jeremiah 29, but I definitely want to read this one. And now, but it's just so, you know, so critical. But I love what it says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. I don't know if you know what it says here, but Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. I just want to read this verse to you because it's so important. But it says here, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. It says do it heartily. You know what that means, heartily? It means with the right attitude. There's nothing worse than to do something, but your heart's not there. Your attitude is not the right door. I used to tell my students when I used to teach, you know, in elementary school and things like that, I used to always tell them, check your attitude at the door. Because that'll set how the atmosphere of the classroom will be. And if the attitude is not right, it's hard to have a learning environment in a classroom. And if we don't have the right attitude with the Lord, the Bible said, what did Paul say? I've learned to be content in all circumstances. So 2018, you know, yes, maybe the pews are not filled. Yes, maybe BVBC has had a pass. I'm not blind to it. I know about it. Yes, and all these things. But you know what? We need to leave it there. And we need to carry on with a new horizon. We want to get to the promised land. We need to start looking at the new horizon. And not say it's what I want or what she wants or what he wants. It's what the Lord wants. It's what you want, God. This is your church. This is your place. You gave your blood for this. Do what you will, God. Just help us follow it. But we need to do it with the right attitude. With a smile in our face. With joy in our... And being positive. Isn't it so sad that people could, some people could come to church and leave out negative? That's not what the Lord intended. With positiveness. And also, I know I'm carrying on, but we're going to finish as far as coming into the new year. But pray. Don't just pray for the church and pray for the pastor. Yeah, pray for me, definitely. But, you know, pray for yourself. I'm going to tell you right now, and we're having a church council meeting next week, and I'm already giving you guys the theme, and I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot do this work alone. It wasn't designed for me to do this alone. It was designed to do it together. The church, the family, we're a family. And the reason I say that is because God has given every single one of you a gift and a talent, or maybe several of them, to use it not for your personal gratification or edification. No. To give him glory. It's to give him glory. You do it for that intention, my goodness, God's going to use you incredibly powerful. God, so this is my prayer request as pastor of this church. Pray for yourself that God shows you, God, these gifts and talents, where do you want me to use them? As we begin the new year, it's going to be a year of work. A year of work, folks. It takes work to build up. It takes work to cross the desert. It takes work to plant. But if we're faithful and God's given different talents and gifts, and we do it and do it together as a family, man, the best is yet to come. But you have to believe it. I believe it, but I can't believe it alone. And I can't convince you. It's not for me to convince you. It's for the Holy Spirit to touch your heart. So I pray that this year, as we close, that we thank God for 2017, that we reflect on his thankfulness, and reflecting means that we see how God was faithful to us in 2017 and how he is going to be faithful to you and to me and to this church in 2018. So come with that positiveness. Come with the right attitude. Pray that God could use you, not just in the midst of the church, in your family, in your workplace, and give God the glory, all the glory. Let us stand as we conclude our service. As we conclude our service. Precious Father, thank you for this time. We thank you, God, for your presence in this place. And we thank you, God, for 2017. What a road it was. All of us here in different paths and different situations. But we just read in your word today, Father, how you were with us. We didn't go alone. How you gave us strength in times where we were weak. How you encouraged us, Father, even though sometimes we might have felt like you were far away. But you weren't. You were listening to us. You were guiding us. You were purging us. Thank you for your time with us, Lord. And thank you, God, Father, that God, Father, as we reflect on, Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Father, for your mercy and for your grace. We want to thank you, God, for not leaving us. We want to thank you for disciplining us, Lord. We want to thank you for your faithfulness, God. How you carried us through, for loving us and protecting us, Lord, through all the situations that we've lived in 2017. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I know in 2017, at least me, I failed you, Lord. And I'm sure all of us could maybe say the same thing. But thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, Father, for loving us, Lord, and for giving us so many chances and to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you. And Father, as we say goodbye to 2017 and welcome 2018, Father, guide us. Continue to guide us. Father, the best is yet to come, Father, because you say that you have a plan and a future and a hope for us, Lord. You do. I just pray that you guide us, Father, and guide all of us here, Father, from the leadership to the saints. Father, we pray for a new harvest next year, God, for new wineskin and new sheep, oh God, Father, that we could go out there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Buena Vista Baptist Church could be a church of prayer, a church of evangelism, a church of discipleship, and a church of joy that worships you, Father. I declare it as pastor of this church, Father, help us, God, to be that church. Help us, Father God, to love each other. And if we need to get things straight with you, Father, that we'll be obedient, Father, whether it's forgiving one another or restoring one another. Father, we don't look back. We look forward to what you have for us, Lord, this year, God, which are good things. And even though we might stumble this year, even though, Father, in the coming year we might have storms and difficulties, oh God, Lord, you will continue to be with us. And I pray that we're able to learn from the process and be and just, oh God, be together as a family, loving each other. Lord, we praise you and we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated just for a second as we conclude.